Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, March 21st, 2024, 1 John.
Okay, how many of you had Oakland winning the national championship? And some of you are saying, I thought they were a baseball team. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation, USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, 1 John, we're getting to be one of our best friends. All the way through this epistle, we have the great development of virtue love. Chapter 2, increasing in chapter 3, increasing in chapter 4, and in all these chapters, again and again and again, the Apostle John uses two very special words, Greek words. One's a noun, one is a verb. The noun is agape. A-G-A-P, long E. Now, I've heard a lot of different fundies talk about agape, but they don't even know what it is. They use the term agape and agape love, but they don't even know what it is. And yet, the one who does know is the the apostle who was the Lord Jesus Christ's best friend. Jesus loved the Apostle John. And John loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and he totally got what Jesus Christ was teaching. And when he uses this word, he is using it as virtue love. He uses it in chapter 2, he uses it in chapter 3, he uses it in chapter 4. He's going to use it in chapter 5. And he's talking about virtue love. And what is virtue love? Well, I hear a lot of fundies say God is love. I hear a lot of people say God is love and they don't even know what that is. Yes, God is love, but God is virtue love. God is infinite virtue love. Infinite virtue love. And that is presented all throughout the scriptures, but especially in 1 John and then the Gospel of John, where the Apostle John stated, God loved the world so much that he gave his uniquely born son. Now that's a verse, John 3:16. Probably every believer in Jesus Christ knows that promise, that verse, memorized it. God loved the world so much, he gave his uniquely born son. He sent his eternal son from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas. Operation Grace, the plan of salvation. And what was that based on? Virtue love. Virtue love, for impersonal love for the entire human race. All mankind. In spiritual death, in total depravity, God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice, and because of that virtue, integrity, and honor, he loved the world with impersonal love for all. He loved the world when the world was spiritually dead, totally depraved, and no damn good. Impersonal love is unconditional. God is infinite in virtue love. He is infinite impersonal love for all. And that's why he designed the plan of salvation, Operation Grace. Grace. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. Frankly, if I had been God, I'd have just wiped out the whole human race and started a new one. But now you know I'm not God. I know. I didn't have to tell you that. God is infinite virtue love. Impersonal love for all mankind, unconditional. And infinite personal love for the few. He provides impersonal love for all mankind, Operation Grace the Cross, but personal love for the few who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And in his plan for the human race, and that plan goes from phase one, salvation, to phase two in time, to phase three for eternity. All the way through, from phase one to phase two to phase three, God loves us with infinite virtue love. And John, in this great epistle, is presenting it to us again and again and again. So, agape has become our friend in 1 John. But that's the noun. There's the verb that's become our friend. Meno. M-E-N long O. Meno. And this is used by the Apostle John all the way through this epistle, and very technical. This has a very technical meaning. And again, most fundies haven't got a clue as to what's going on. But this is describing you living the spiritual life in the church age by the spiritual skill. That's manhole. Living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. And we have that. And we learn more and more and more about it from chapter 2 to chapter 3 to chapter 4. We're going to see it more in chapter 5. That we've already had this used about 10 different times. And John wants you, this is called teaching by repetition. John is not teaching us so we remember it. He's teaching us so we'll never, ever forget it. Teaching us so that we will get it and live our life by it. And the two words, agape, virtue, love, and meno, to abide, to live the spiritual life, are intimately related, directly related to each other. So let's go ahead and start our corrected translation in chapter 4 at verse 11. 1 John 4, verse 11. Beloved, royal family of God, if God so loved us, impersonal love for all mankind, first class condition, and he has so loved all mankind with impersonal love, then we also are obligated to keep on loving one another with impersonal love for all. No one has ever seen God, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. If we love one another with impersonal love for all, God abides in us. That is, we're living the spiritual life. And his love, virtue love, has been brought to completion in our hearts. The ultimate objective of the unique spiritual life in the church age. To have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. Verse 13. By this impersonal love for all, we have come to know, to realize, that we are abiding in him. We're living the spiritual life. And he abides in us because he has sent to us his Spirit, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, so we can live this spiritual life. So we can meno in him, abide in him. Verse 14. Indeed, we have seen and bear witness that the Father, God the Father, has sent the Son, his eternal Son, to be the Savior of the world. The greatest manifestation and demonstration of impersonal love for all that the world will ever know. Verse 15. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, that is faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation, God resides in him, and this is the indwelling of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he, in God, the baptism of the Spirit, in union with Jesus Christ, current positional truth. Now we stopped and went through in great detail two doctrines. The doctrine of the indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit, and the doctrine of the indwelling of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we move on. 1 John 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed. This is the conjunction chi, plus the nominative plural of the personal pronoun ego, plus the perfect active indicative of gnosko. Then we have the conjunction chi repeated with the perfect active indicative of pistelwo. Now these are two very important verbs And they are describing the personal pronoun ego, we. Who's we? We's we, ain't we? Well, in the Greek, when you have a verb like ginosko, we have ginosko, that's G-I-N long O, S-K long O, or you have pistelwo, and we have that verb here too, P-I-S-T-E-U long O. When you have a verb in the Greek, the subject's always in the verb. There's always the subject in the verb. You don't need any personal pronoun. So when God the Holy Spirit had the Apostle John put in the personal pronoun, that's very, very important. And that's what he had him do here. So we start out with a conjunction chi, which is a continuative chi and translated and. But then we have the nominative plural of the personal pronoun ego. Ego. It's in the nominative plural, so that's we. Now the use of this personal pronoun is very, very important. It puts the spotlight on the winner believer. This personal pronoun puts the spotlight on the winner believer who is living the unique spiritual life of the church age. Who has attained the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, which is virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. And in the Bible, the heart doesn't refer to the pump, it refers to up here, the right lobe of the soul, the target of the Word of God. You have a Bible in your lap, the target for getting this Word is in your heart, the right lobe of the soul. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Metabolized doctrine in the heart. Wisdom in the heart. Epinosis doctrine in the heart. Thy word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verse 11. So the personal pronoun ego is putting the spotlight on the winner believer. And now we have two verbs to describe the winner believer. Two verbs describing the winner believer. The first one is ginosko. The second one is pistelwo. These two verbs are very important describing all of those who wind up being winner believers. First, ginosko. G-I-N long O, S-K long O. Ginosko. First of all, point one, ginosko means to come to know. There's a process. You come to know as you, first of all, find a sound Bible teaching church where you teaching, where they teach the grace and truth of the Word of God. And then you consistently and faithfully assemble with positive volition and humility, respect for God and His Word and the pastor teacher teaching it. And you do that day after day after day after day, and you come to know. You're growing up. You come to know the grace and truth of the Word of God. And the result of that is you do know. You come to know in a process so that you do know. So ginosko means to come to know, and it results in the fact that you know. You know something. Two, Gnosko is the verb that describes the first two spiritual skills of the spiritual life. The filling of the Holy Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Gnosko is the verb that describes the first two spiritual skills of the spiritual life. The filling of the Holy Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. You see, we all are indwelt by the Spirit, but you must be living the spiritual life. It's a supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power. That supernatural power is God the Holy Spirit. You must be empowered. That's why we have a mandate. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Keep on walking by the Spirit. Keep on living your life by the Spirit. And then you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. Then you won't be living in Satan's cosmic system. You'll be living the spiritual life in fellowship with God. 3, Gnosko describes consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. That's the winner believer. That's the winner believer. Consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. There's no place that the winner believer would rather be than in that sound Bible teaching church, growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, assembling to worship the King. You assemble here to worship the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And just as the Magi brought gifts to worship the King, a baby in a manger, you assemble to worship the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And there's only two gifts you have to bring. Two gifts. Positive volition and humility. That's the gifts you bring to the King, Jesus Christ. Positive volition and humility. 4, therefore, it means to learn, to understand, to comprehend. To learn, to understand, to comprehend. Point 5, Gnosko is combined here with the second word describing the winner believer, pistewo. P-I-S-T-E-U long O. Pistewo. And pistewo means to believe. You see, the winner believer, first of all, he consistently gnoskos. And then when you winner believer assembles in that church, local church that teaches sound Bible doctrine, grace and truth, the winner believer assembles with positive volition. Now there are believers that assemble here with negative volition. They're negative. They do not have positive. They're negative to God. They're negative to the Word of God. They don't even want to hear the Word of God. It doesn't mean anything to them. But for the winner believers assembles with positive volition and humility. Respect for the authority of God and His Word and the pastor teacher teaching it. So, gnosko combined with pisteuo, to believe, you have positive volition, you have humility, and the result is you receive maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. 6, when Bible doctrine is believed, it goes from gnosis doctrine in the nous and the left lobe of the soul to epinosis doctrine in the cardia, the heart, the right lobe of the soul. And that's the target. The target for the Word of God is the heart. When you believe it, it becomes metabolized doctrine. When you believe it, it becomes wisdom, Sophia in the Greek, chokma in the Hebrew. Now wisdom means you're now becoming skilled in handling the Word of God, and you can skillfully apply the Word of God to your life, to any situation, to any circumstance, to any problem. You are skilled because you have Sophia, chokma, wisdom, metabolized doctrine in your heart. So when Bible doctrine is believed, it goes from gnosis doctrine in the nous and left lobe to epinosis doctrine in the cardia, the heart, the right lobe. 7, this is the mechanics of how agape, virtue love, is brought to completion in your heart. This is what John. John says, forget about Paul. This is John. This is the mechanics of how virtue love is brought to completion in your heart. Filling of the Spirit, teaching ministry of the Spirit, gnoskoing, positive volition of Bible doctrine, humility, pisteloing. The perfect tense is the consummative perfect. The use of the perfect tense, this tense connotes the action is completed. The active voice, the winner believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, performs the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative. It's seen from the viewpoint of reality, certainty, and fact in the winner believer. And we, winner believers, we have come to know with the result that we do know and understand and have believed. And then we have the love that God hath to us. That's the thundering diction of the King James. This is the accusative singular of our friend, agape, with the definite article, plus the accusative singular of the relative pronoun hos, plus the nominative singular of theos with the definite article, plus the prepositional phrase, and plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun ego, plus the present active indicative of the verb echo. Well, here's our friend, and you, by now, you know this friend very well. Agape. And agape is virtue love. Virtue love. And we have come to know with the result we do know and understand and have believed the virtue love. The virtue love. Very powerful. But he doesn't just stop with that. The virtue love. And then we have the relative pronoun hos. H-O-S, relative pronoun, which virtue love? Which virtue love? And we have come to know with the result that we know and understand and have believed. The virtue love. Which virtue love? And then we have hotheos. Definite article, ha, T-H-E-O-S, the God. The God. And then the verb echo. E-C-H, long O. The God. Echo means to have, to hold, to possess, which the God has for us, which the God hath for us. N plus the dative singular of the personal pronoun ego for us. So, how wonderful is this? Makes you kind of want to stop now and just everybody thank God. And we have come to know, with the result that we do know and understand and have believed, the virtue love, which virtue love God keeps on having. Linear action start. Which God keeps on having for us. God keeps on having virtue love for us. From the beginning of His plan for us, salvation, to His plan for us in time, to His plan for us for all eternity, God keeps on having virtue love for us. Virtue love and the plan of God. The plan of God for us is three phases. Phase one of the plan of God is salvation. Phase one, God has impersonal love for all mankind. Operation Grace, the cross. Operation Grace, the cross. And you don't even need, you know, you all know the verse. God loved the world so much, the world, that He gave His uniquely born Son. The eternal Son of God, He sent from heaven to earth on that first Christmas. What was the motivation behind it? He loved the world with infinite virtue love, with infinite impersonal love for all. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Because of that, we have the Lord Jesus Christ leaving heaven, taking on true humanity, going to a cross, being imputed with the sins of the whole world, and then judged for those sins, taking our place. He didn't earn it. He didn't deserve our sins. And we certainly did not earn or deserve God's grace to us. But that's His infinite virtue, love for the whole world. And it starts out with infinite, impersonal love for all mankind. God loved the world so much, He gave His uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in Him will never perish, but have everlasting life. And then the Apostle, that's John. And then the Apostle Paul describes this infinite, impersonal love for all in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates His own virtue love for us. God demonstrates His own virtue love for us in this, while we were still sinners, when we were no damn good, when we were spiritually dead and totally depraved, Christ died for us when we were at our worst. But God demonstrates His own virtue love for us. This is infinite, impersonal love for all mankind. So phase one, in the plan of God, God has impersonal love for all mankind. Operation Grace, the cross, John 3:16, Romans 5:8. But virtue love, the infinite virtue love of God, is made up of impersonal love for all and also personal love. Impersonal love is unconditional love. Personal love is conditional. And God has personal love for the few who believe in Jesus Christ. Faith. Impersonal love went for all. The sins of the whole world were poured out on Christ, not just those who were going to believe in Christ. The whole world. And then for those who believe, infinite personal love. That's phase one. The plan of God for us goes on. Phase two, the believer in time. And God has infinite impersonal love for all believers, establishing a grace pipeline. And at that moment of faith in Christ, down that grace pipeline came 40 salvation blessings to all believers. The very second you believed in Christ, 40 salvation blessings came to all. And those blessings are above and beyond anything we could ever ask for. But that wasn't all. Every day, from that day you believed in Christ to today, down that grace pipeline to all believers, the good, the bad, and the ugly, God has sent down logistical grace, blessing and support, temporal security to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world so that you might fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. God has the most amazing plan for your life. And He's with impersonal love for all of us, has given you day after day after day temporal security, logistical grace, blessing, and support. And God has personal love for those few believers who advance to spiritual maturity. For them, He sends down that grace pipeline, greater grace, blessings for time. And then, phase three of the plan of God for us. Phase three of the plan of God for us, God has infinite impersonal love for all believers in eternity, all believers will receive a resurrection body and live with God forever. No matter whether you're a winner believer or a loser believer, no matter whether you make nothing but bad decisions and live in Satan's cosmic system or make good decisions to live the spiritual life, all believers have eternal security. All believers will live with God in heaven forever. All believers will receive a resurrection body. And God has infinite personal love for the few who attain spiritual maturity and hold it. Greater grace blessing for all eternity that are awarded to the winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ. And now you know the judgment seat of Christ. We've been studying that for the last few weeks on Wednesday night class. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10. Fantastic passage, and we have been going through. This is where we get a dovetail between the Wednesday night class in Corinthians and the 1 John class on Thursday night. The two dovetail together. And we have come to know, with the result that we do know and understand and have believed the virtue love. Which virtue love God keeps on having for us? God keeps on having for us from the beginning, salvation, phase one, to time, to eternity. And we have come to know, with the result that we do know and understand and have believed, the virtue love, which virtue love God keeps on having for us. And then he says, God is, well, he says in the Greek, hotheos, agape, esten. God is virtue love. That is the part of the very essence of God. Not all what I hear people talk about God is love, and they don't know God, and they don't know God's love. God is virtue love is what this says. Ha theos agape esten. Ha theos, the God, ame is the verb to be. E-I-M-I, the verb to be is, the God is agape. The God is virtue love. But you see, he's describing this, been describing it, and by now, he just says it, and you're right there. I'm with you, John. God is virtue love. Now this isn't the first time that the Apostle John has taught this. In 1 John 4 verse 8, he said the same thing. God is virtue love. And we went through that in great detail. So I refer you back to your notes on 1 John 4 verse 8 on God is virtue love. It's all, we've already been there and done that. And we have come to know the result that we do know and understand and have believed the virtue love, which virtue love God keeps on having for us. God is virtue love. And then he goes on, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. Now, here's our other word that's, this is our friend too, meno, but we have it two different ways. Aha. First of all, we have meno as an articular present active participle. An articular participle of meno. And then at the end of this, we have the present active indicative of meno. So we have meno as an articular participle and then meno as an present active indicative. And we have the prepositional phrase en plus the dative of agape. So we got agape and meno together in this great marriage, and then the prepositional phrase en plus the dative singular of theos. Now the conjunction chi, this is important, it's not just a connective chi. If it's just a connective chi, I wouldn't even put it up here, but it's not. K-A-I, it's the emphatic use of chi. And the emphatic chi, it may be translated, in fact, indeed, verily, really, certainly. We're going to translate it, in fact. And then our verb, meno, our friend, our old friend meno in 1 John. So a few points. One, meno literally means to stay or to remain. Two, figuratively, meno means to abide or to continue, to abide or to continue. Three, meno is the Apostle John's key word. Key word, that describes the believer who is living the unique spiritual life of the church age. That's why we have it again and again and again. Meno, and meno with agape. Because when you live the unique spiritual life of the church age, the ultimate objective is to have agape, virtue, love, brought to completion in your heart. So meno is the Apostle John's key word that describes the believer who is living the unique spiritual life of the church age. Four, the believer who claims to be abiding, menoing in God is obligated to keep on walking as he, the Lord Jesus Christ, walked and lived the spiritual life. And John taught that in 1 John 2, verse 6. 1 John 2, 6, John says, the one who claims to meno in him, in Christ, is obligated also himself to keep on walking just as he, the Lord Jesus Christ, walked. To keep on living the spiritual life just as he, the Lord Jesus Christ, lived the spiritual life. So he taught this in 1 John 2, 6. 5. The believer who loves his fellow believer with impersonal love for all is abiding in the light. When you're abiding in the light, you're living the spiritual life. The spiritual life is light. The cosmic system is darkness. Satan's kingdom is the kingdom of darkness. His system is a system of darkness. God's system is a system of light. The believer who loves his fellow believer with impersonal love for all, agape, is menoing. Menoing, abiding in the light. He's living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. And John taught that, 1 John 2, verse 10. I'm sure you all remember this. So he used it in 1 John 2, 6. Now 1 John 2, 10. When he says, the one who loves his brother, his fellow believer, with impersonal love for all, abides, he is living in the light. He is living in the spiritual life. He is living in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. That was 1 John 2:10. 6. The believer who lives the spiritual life and gets maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart is menoing in the Son, occupation with Christ, and in the Father, personal love for God the Father, 1 John 2:24. John taught this in 1 John 2:24. As for you, positive believers, what Bible doctrine you have heard from the beginning, when you finally decided this is what you wanted and needed, that Bible doctrine must keep on remaining in you. If that Bible doctrine you have heard from the beginning has remained in you, maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, you also will meno, abide in the Son, occupation with Christ, and in the Father, personal love for God the Father, 1 John 2:24. Point 7. We are commanded to keep on menoing, keep on abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ, living the spiritual life, so that we will not be disgraced and put to shame at the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, we saw this in our Wednesday night class as we're studying the judgment seat of Christ. But here we have it again. Point 7. We are commanded to keep on menoing, keep on abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep on living the spiritual life. Why? So that we will not be disgraced and put to shame at the judgment seat of Christ. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, minnow in him, abide in him, so that when he appears at the rapture, we may have confidence. Only the winner believer has confidence before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. That we may have confidence and might not be put to shame at his coming, in his presence, the judgment seat of Christ. Point 8. We know that we have changed our residence from the living in the cosmic system to living the spiritual life. How do we know that? Because we have impersonal love for all. If you're in the cosmic system, you have no virtue love. If you're in the cosmic system, you have no impersonal love for all. But we know that we have changed our residence from living in the cosmic system to living the spiritual life. How do we know that? Because we have impersonal love for all. But the believer who has no virtue love, no impersonal love for all, keeps on minnowing, keeps on living in Satan's cosmic system. And that's 1 John 3, verse 14. John already taught that in 1 John 3. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have changed our residence away from death, cosmic death, living in Satan's cosmic system, to life, to the spiritual life, because we keep on loving the brethren, fellow believers. Anyone who does not love fellow believers with impersonal love for all keeps on remaining, keeps on living in the sphere of cosmic death. He keeps on living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. John taught that in 1 John chapter 3. You see, kind of cut lost. I was afraid you lost track. These are the key words for John all the way through. Technical. For virtue love and living the spiritual life. 9. The believer who obeys the Lord's mandates, keeps on abiding, minnowing in him, and the Lord Jesus Christ abides in the believer. Jesus Christ has made himself at home in our hearts, occupation with Christ. And John taught that in 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. 1 John 3:24, he says, in fact, the one who keeps on obeying and executes his mandates, keeps on minnowing in him, living the spiritual life. And also he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is abiding in him, making himself at home in the spiritually mature believer's heart. In fact, by this we have come to know that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, minnows in us. He has made himself at home in our hearts by the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, whom he, God the Father, has given to us so that we can live this unique spiritual life. That's 1 John 3:24. 10. If we love one another with impersonal love for all, God minnows in us, abides in us, we are living the spiritual life, and his virtue love has been brought to completion in our hearts. And that's 1 John 4, verse 12. No one has ever seen God, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. If we love one another with impersonal love for all, virtue love, God abides in us. We're living the spiritual life, and his love, his virtue love, has been brought to completion in our hearts, in us, in our hearts. 1 John 4:12, 11. The key to living the unique spiritual life and knowing that we are minnowing in God and He minnows in us is the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit. The supernatural power given to us so that we can live this supernatural spiritual life. And that's 1 John 4, verse 13. By this impersonal love for all, we have come to know and realize, understand that we are minnowing in Him, living the spiritual life, and He is minnowing in us because He has sent to us His Spirit, the universal indwelling of the Spirit, as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, so we can live this spiritual life. So, point 11, the key to living this unique spiritual life and knowing that we are abiding in God and He is abiding in us is the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit. Point 12, the believer who minnows in virtue love, the believer who minnows or abides in virtue love has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. If you are abiding in virtue love, then you have fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. Why? The reason why you're here. You have had virtue love brought to completion in your heart. The believer who abides in virtue love abides in God. He is living the spiritual life, and God abides in him. He is personal love for the Father, occupation with Jesus Christ. He is living the Spirit-filled life. And that's 1 John 4, verse 16. That's our verse. And we have come to know, with the result that we know and understand, and we have believed the virtue love, which virtue love God keeps on having for us. God is virtue love. In fact, the one who abides in virtue love abides in God, and God abides in him. Hoo-ah! Thank you, thank you. Hey, when your wife applauds, you know, you got that's better than when she pulls out the 45 and aims it at you. You know? Well, I wanted, you see, I've said from time to time throughout this epistle, the Apostle John has used two words in a very technical way, agape and meno. But it's been a while from chapter 2 to chapter 3 to chapter 4, and I wanted to take you through and see it in one night, what he's been doing here, what he's been teaching here. This is so important. So the articular participle of meno is a substantival participle. That is, it functions as a noun. And it says, in fact, the one who abides. It's in fact, the one who abides. Preposition and, in, agape, virtue, love. In fact, the one who abides in virtue, love. And then meno's repeated, this time in the indicative. The present tense is progressive. He keeps on abiding. This is the progressive present. The action is presented as actually being in progress in present time. the active voice, the believer who has virtue love brought to completion in his heart, performs the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative, dogmatic fact of Bible doctrine. In fact, the one who abides in virtue love keeps on abiding in God. He keeps on living the spiritual life that God has for us in the church age. Well, this, you know, this is a special verse that I believe is very, very, very powerful. And I just hope that through the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, teaching it to you, you begin to understand how powerful this is and what God is trying to, or what John is trying to say. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. We thank you, Father, for a privilege we had this evening of fellowshipping in your word. And we ask that God, the Holy Spirit, might challenge us with what's been taught, that it becomes a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.